Welcome to Author's Note, Don't Like, Don't Listen. My name is Cass.
My name is Tees.
And we have a really special guest with us this week by way of our cover artist, Nyaliest, otherwise known as Jala.
Hi, Jala. I'm the special guest. It's
You're
me.
You're a special guest. Hi. So, this week we're talking about gacha games or gachapon. Do they get called gachapon games or is it just always gacha games?
I feel like gachapon is specifically for the physical machines themselves, despite the term gacha coming from gachapon machine.
Alright, well this week we're talking about gacha games.
So, have you guys been watching anything? Jala, since you are guest,
I am guest.
You can go first. Have you been consuming any fun, sexy media this past week or two?
The only fun and cool and exciting media that I've been consuming is going to bed at a reasonable hour.
Yes. That is the most sexy media consumption
possible. Yeah, I consume the media of my dreams.
Yummy.
I had a dream the other night.
Yeah.
That I had to go through this weird ass obstacle course, and it was like in a playground, but there was also like an avalanche that would like go off if you didn't finish it in time, and part of it required you to open a can of tomatoes and eat the can of tomatoes.
Were they diced?
Yeah, they were like diced up, like little tomato chunks. It wasn't like a sauce or like paste. It was just like diced tomatoes in a can.
Just a diced. Boy, I had a dream the other day where I had to unclog a toilet, but there was no running water, so I had to use water from a fish tank, and all the fish came out of the fish tank, so I was more preoccupied with making sure the fish wouldn't die than unclogging the toilet. It was a very stressful dream. I don't remember the outcome of it whatsoever, but I feel that fear and stress and pain, Jala, I really do. What about you, Cass?
I had a dream. I know you aren't asking me about my dreams now, but I care more about the dream I had this week than the media I consumed this week.
Yeah.
I had a dream that when Furbies were initially released, they had much more varied and unique designs. And I'm talking like different body models and stuff. And they clapped with their ears. And I had a dream in specific about a Furby that was in a cup noodle container. And the lid of the cup noodle would lift, and the Furby would rise up, and it was like a head of cabbage.
I think you should make your dreams a reality.
I really want to make that Furby.
Have you seen the clam Furby? Because that might be a really good starting point to mod it with.
I have seen the clam Furbies. They have like a specific name, but I'm drawing a blank on it off the top of my head.
Clurbies. I have seen them.
They're very good.
I like
I'm going to call them Clurbies.
Oh, I was going to say Clussy, but that's
no,
not.
Absolutely no. Not. Furbies are beautiful. I bet Furbies lay eggs.
You know what? I think you're right.
I feel like there's an like there has to be creatures. An answer for this, because the Furby, like all the Furby information is like really deep. Do Furbies lay eggs?
I don't think Furbies have nipples.
Furby?
You know what? I think you're wrong, and I think they do.
According to Cosmopolitan...
I think I'm brave for speaking up about it.
You're so valid. According to Cosmopolitan, using the Furby Connect app, one can make Furby lay eggs and poop out things, all kinds of things, into a digital toilet when you make the toy over a paired device's screen. So that means Furbies, in fact, do lay eggs.
Fuck yeah. I am surprised that they poop, though. I was expecting more of, like, an owl pellet style situation.
But
where
that's
they
like
regurgitate.
They throw up, anything.
Like pellets of bones?
Yeah.
What do Furbies eat?
The forward facing eyes of a Furby do suggest that they are carnivorous.
Okay,
they
that's
are
fair.
Predators.
Furbies are the apex predator.
They really are. They've certainly preyed upon my heart. Jala, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay, well, I want everybody to know that I have a cat, and her name is Junie, and I love her very, very much. I'm here for Junie.
You have three other cats.
No, they don't matter. This isn't about them. I'm talking about Junie right now, so you can shut up. I love my cat, Junie. I would die for her. I would do anything for her. If she told me to kill, I would do it.
All right, Jala, what's your history playing gacha games?
A lot.
Most gacha games are mobile games, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, pretty much. Basically, like, the whole way that they're made is, like, pretty much, it just revolves around the system as, like, a means to make money for them.
I mean, the alternative, right, is ad revenue. Yeah. And a lot of times you're able to bypass ads by paying either a one-time fee or a monthly regular fee.
Yeah.
But even then, it does seem like most mobile games in general rely upon paying money for resources.
I play Cookie Jam, which is a knockoff Candy Crush, and they make a bulk of their money via coin sales. And you can use coins to not finish your level if you died, like if you didn't do it in enough mm-hmm. turns, or if you want to purchase a fancy airship glider thing, which is totally cosmetic, or you want to buy power ups and stuff like that. So I guess it is possible not to rely on.
Yeah, they do
have a gacha system, but it's no longer available. For some reason, they made little pets for you to like dress up and use as an extra power up. And there's a gacha system for the costumes that they could wear, but they haven't updated the costumes in over a year. So I guess they abandoned the gacha model.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my brain, like, totally erased that entire, like, means of making money for some reason.
And when we talk about gacha, because not everyone is totally familiar with the term, gacha comes from gashapon, which refers specifically to these Japanese coin-operated machines where you put in a certain amount of money. It changes depending on the machine, and a capsule ball will kind of roll out and will have something inside of it. A lot of times these are like, they're not cheap. A lot of times they're like collectibles, or I mean, there's whole venues which are just dedicated to gashapon machines, and the idea being that like there are items and you're not guaranteed any one specific item. So you can put in the equivalent of $5 to get a cute little cat hat of an array of like 10 of them, but there's no guarantee on which one you get. So maybe you really want one that's shaped like a banana to put on your cat, because who wouldn't? You're going to keep putting in $5 every single time to try and get that gacha.
Think about the little homies that you would collect from the ball machine outside of the grocery store when you were a kid. Mm-hmm. That's literally what it is.
It's, but bigger and better quality.
It's bigger, yeah, and it's usually actually copywritten properties instead of things specifically designed for the gachapon machine.
Mm-hmm. And these are things which are, while not necessarily specifically designed for the gacha machines, are normally exclusive to them.
Yes.
So you're not necessarily able to buy them off a market shelf. There are people who do sell them secondhand, however, on eBay or any other manner of forum and trading site at a considerable markup.
Yeah, speaking of eBay, this was like back when I was in high school. There was I forget like what promotion they were doing, but there was like a period of time where some like little plushy keychains I wanted were gacha exclusive in Japan, and I was like, "Damn, I want those little bitches." Wait, can I curse in this podcast?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Hell yeah! Okay. I want those little bitches. So I crawled my ass onto eBay, and I was like, "All right, let's see if I can find these guys," and I found them. And they were $50 each.
I was going to say, was that more character tax, or was it just exclusivity and just hasn't been...
I feel like it was exclusivity thing. And just, like, the fact that the fandom was, like, pretty small anyway. Mm. So there was, like, a lot of listings for it.
Mm. So for people who don't spend their whole entire life savings on purchasing anime goods, a character tax is when you want a certain item of a certain character, however people jack up the price of said item because it is specifically for that character. So really popular characters have a higher price character tax. So like, for instance, I really like Golden Kami, and probably the more expensive character is Ogata, so like something that's an Ogata charm may go for $15, but I personally like Shiraishi, so he would go for like $5 usually.
Hell so, yeah.
Yeah.
Less in demand.
Yeah. The more in demand a character is, obviously, the higher the price will be raised because people are willing to spend it on that character.
The research we did on gacha games kind of varied between insider player experience and external viewing of that player experience and how it's generally regarded. It does seem like, in general, the community of people playing gacha games are very self-deprecating. I watched a video from a YouTuber. I watched a video from a YouTuber named Gigook, who spent $1,000.
Oh, I love that bitch.
You can find his video, and it's really informative, and I think he's pretty honest about his experience with the games. He chose from a selection of games that hadn't sponsored him before and wanted to try them out and talk about it and see how much he could realistically spend without pushing himself to spend. And his ultimate conclusion was that these communities are so self-deprecating because you're fully aware of what you're doing in terms of you're spending money on a JPEG or a PNG mm-hmm. of a character, right?
Don't remind me. You're hurting my feelings. I'm right here.
But there's also the outside perspective of gacha games, and we're going to rope loot boxes into this a little bit as well, of they are very dangerous for people with addictive personalities or people with poor impulse control. And these games, it cannot be ignored, they are specifically marketed and produced in such a way to encourage people to spend money on them, obviously, because that's how they do their business. But as time has gone on, there's been some legislation cropping up and more discussions happening around the addictive nature of these games, what is and is not legal, you know, considerations of, like, how do kids factor into this? Because children don't understand gambling or money. But, oh God, there's a lot of children who are spending money that maybe isn't theirs. Absolutely isn't theirs. a lot of money. But yeah. So, Jala, what was the first gacha game you ever played?
First one, probably, like, Love Live or something.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, it's always Love Live.
A lot of time on Love Live. Can I actually read some quick statistics about
absolutely, yeah.
all of this fun stuff? According to Zendel and Cairn, UK Gambling Commission estimated that 31% of children aged 11 to 16 have opened one loot box. Loot boxes are highly profitable, with some estimates stating that they will generate up to $30 billion for the video game industry in 2018 alone. So obviously this came out in 2019, and there's been some big money in loot boxes. And then later mm-hmm. on, they go to say that not all countries feel the same way about regulating loot boxes, because some people view it as legitimate gambling, while others are just kind of like, it's kind of just like getting a pack of baseball cards. You're going to get something technically, but it might not always be the thing that you want the most. But
which is,
yeah.
Which is bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, definitely.
It's bullshit. When, I mean, if we just talk about magic users, right, which is roughly analogous to baseball cards, it's commonly referred to as cardboard crack because of, like, the very real addiction that people get into where they buy these packs and crack them open to get rare cards. And, like, they have monetary value.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball cards have monetary value.
I've seen
separate those things.
I've seen people buy legit cases of card packs and then rip open the box and then open all the card packs. So,
oh, yeah.
It's
That's not uncommon. You go to a game shop during an opening event for Magic, you will see people buying fat packs, buying all manner of pre-release style packs, and just sitting there and cracking. And, like, a full booster pack cost triple digits. I don't remember the price off the top of my head anymore, but, like, you can spend a lot of money on a box.
Yeah.
Just cards. And, I mean, with Magic, at least, you are guaranteed, right? It's like, there's so many common cards. You'll get a land or a token, and you'll get cards of like ultra rare or rare value. But that doesn't necessarily dictate the monetary value of those cards. Mm-hmm. Just because the card is quote unquote rare doesn't actually mean it's more valuable. Just because of value of cards is determined by the player base, mm-hmm. which is not quite the same as in a gacha game where, at least in the US now, video game companies have to disclose percentage drop rates and likeliness to acquire things. Because if they didn't, like, you end up with Monkey Gate.
There was an incident, yes.
There was an incident, right? And, like, it happened over and over in communities where, like, I mean, I'll fess up. I think I spent over $200 on loot boxes in Overwatch during their first Halloween event because I wanted all the Halloween skins. Like, those have no value. I can't trade them. I can't do anything with them. But I spent money on them.
And also, if you think about it, sometimes, especially in gacha games where you can't trade something, there's mm-hmm. an inherent value on whether or not something is quote-unquote ugly or not.
Oh, and absolutely.
Especially in games where you can trade stuff, depending on how cool it looks or what its stats are, you can, in fact, trade it. Like, I mean, in TF2, hats didn't really do anything just besides being a hat. And yet, people would drop hundreds of dollars on TF2 hats.
Same with PUBG or PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, where you could get things out of these loot crates of, like, fashion items that would be consistently, like, worn by your character. And, you know, like, it doesn't do anything. It doesn't give you any stats. But, hey, I'm the cool one.
Yeah, I'm sorry. What's so funny?
Dox you. Tisa just messaged the Discord chat saying, "That's what PUBG stands for."
I was literally just thinking that.
I didn't know. Yes, I didn't PUBG realize they were the same thing. Battleground.
I was literally thinking that too. I had no idea. I always thought it was literally just PUBG and like that. That's what its name was.
I just thought they were two.
Yeah, it was an acronym for anything.
Wow, mm-hmm. You learn something new every day.
But yeah, the methodology of loot boxes, of these gacha games, is to encourage people to spend money, often through subtle, effective, insidious tactics of being very bright, very colorful.
And making sexy cat boys.
Yeah. Listen, sometimes you want cat boys.
And making sexy cat boys. That's one of the reasons people spend money. Yeah.
You gotta get those sexy cat boys. I do wanna bring up Gugook, in his video, sort of talked about the process by which you get addicted to these games, for lack of a better term. And I'm talking the pseudo-addiction, not the real way we talk about addiction, even mm-hmm. though people do commonly get addicted to these games in a very real medical sense. But early stages of gacha games or other mobile games often overload you with a lot of rewards and achievements. So you'll do one task where, like, you just do something as simple as opening up a menu. It's like, here's 10 crystals. They'll give you tons of in-game currency, and it's enough for you to become invested in such a way that, like, you're playing the game, you're coasting through it, you're getting that dopamine, that serotonin of achievement hits over and over again in these little micro doses, until eventually you hit a wall. But at that point, you've been playing the game for maybe a couple hours, maybe a couple days, maybe even a couple weeks, totally free, and suddenly you hit that wall and you can't progress any further. And it's like, well, maybe now I start shelling out some money for this.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So I think we'll come back to that a little bit later. Let's share some experiences. So Jala, I know you as most chiefly playing, let me see if I can get this right, A3.
Yes.
Love Live is too basic and easy for you, correct?
Okay, so fun fact about me, I'm very good at rhythm games.
I love that for you.
You are terrifyingly good at rhythm games.
I have full comboed every single song in Love Live, and then I got bored of it, so I
even
stopped
master,
playing.
Even master level?
All of them. Every single
Iconic.
Song.
That is so sexy of you.
Tease, when I sit next to her at a con, when it's a slow period, she pulls out her iPad and she puts it on the table, and the table will start shaking because she is tapping so hard on her iPad. And I shit you not, she'll do like a new song for the very first time and get almost perfect on every single note. And the one she doesn't get perfect on, she gets like great or excellent. It is disturbing.
That is,
I don't know I'm how in her awe. Brain works.
I have started playing Idolmaster and Bandori, and I have almost full comboed all the songs on both of those as well.
Oh my god. So, isn't Idolmaster like really hard too?
Yeah, we churning through it. We chug in. Choo choo.
Are you then you also play Grand Blue Fantasy?
Yes, that is that's my main hoe. Like I'm a slut.
Who's Grand your special Blue boy?
Vayne.
There he is.
He's what made me crack. I'm no longer free to play because of that one special little boy.
Were you free to play up until that?
Up until then, I've never spent money on a gacha game until I saw Vayne Grand Blue Fantasy.
Wow.
Okay, so how long had you been playing Grand Blue before you spent money on it? And how much was your first purchase?
Okay, so I first got into Grand Blue when they had a crossover event with the Tales series, and
delicious.
Before like Grand Blue or anything, I was like super super into the Tales series. Like I still am, and I love it. So I was like, damn, that's some nice art. I'm gonna check this franchise out and see what it's all about. And so I stuck my little paws in. And I was like, okay, this is cool, this is fun, this is neat. But I wasn't, like, super invested. Like, once the event ended, I, like, stopped logging on daily. And then I saw this event, and this beautiful, bright, puppy-eyed blonde boy was on the banner.
Your waifu.
And I was like, oh, wooga, who's that?
Can you briefly explain to everyone what a banner is?
Every so often, the pools in the gacha will change. Like, different characters will have, like, rate up and stuff. They'll swap out who's available and whatnot. And so for that instance, I think Vayne was on, like, rate up or something. So he was, like, slapped on there.
It was
on
more
the
likely that you would get him if you rolled for him.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah, his odds were like, doubled or something. And I saw him and I was like, okay, I love him. I'm gonna start playing Grand Blue. So
oh my
I did.
God.
And then like fast forward to like I forget, maybe like 2 years. I'm just like sitting there praying that Vayne would finally get an SSR version because up until then he was he only had an SR. And he finally got it. And
yay!
I was like, I don't care if he sucks, I want him. And I didn't get him.
So, oh my god, that happened to me. I played only 2 gacha games religiously. One was Love Live and one was Bandori, and both of them I ended up quitting because I saved like a whole bunch of gems, crystals, whatever you want to call them, and did not get the card that I wanted. I specifically saved for Autumn Viewing Mari, and I saved 800 gems.
Holy shit!
Was it 800 or was it? I did 10 pulls, so maybe it was only 500.
Oh my god, still?
Either way, I saved a shit ton of gems. I got 3 URs, none of them were Mari.
Oh.
And then I got 9 of the same SR of Yo.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, and I was so distraught. I even did like a one final Hail Mary, and I got a UR in that Hail Mary pull, and it wasn't her. It was the accompanying card from the same set, but, like, the last banner for that set.
Damn.
I was just like, I can't do this anymore. And then I just stopped playing Love Live that day. And then the same thing happened with Bandori, where I was saving for the Romeo and Juliet Kaoru card.
Oh, I was saving for that one, too!
And I did not get her.
I didn't either.
Yeah, and I just was like, and I was putting money into Bandori at that time too. And
damn.
I maybe spent about like $50, so which isn't a lot in the grand scheme of things. I haven't put a lot of money into gacha. I think like I'm gonna say total throughout all the gacha that I've played, I've probably spent about $200 total, like in all my what 6 years I've been playing gacha games on and off.
But which is nothing.
Which is nothing. I know. You know what it is? It's because I play it, when I do care about it, I play it constantly. So I could be completely free to play because I have a lot, I don't have impulse control usually, but when it comes to gacha games, I am incredibly good when it comes to impulse.
Damn, so, I wish that were me.
Yeah, so that is why I barely don't play any more gacha. However, I did find out that Uma Musume is coming to the United States, so ooh, guess who is gonna be Horse Girl? Tisla Hart.
To this day, I have still not gotten a single 4-star Kaoru in Bandori.
That's homophobic.
She hates me. She will not come home, and she's my favorite girl.
It's okay. Kasumi's now my favorite girl, so, like, sorry, Kaoru, but you got pushed aside.
I can't play rhythm games.
Like, in general? Do you not have rhythm? Are you that white? Rhythm,
but I get really visually overstimulated really, really quick.
Oh, turn off the girls.
So it is terrifying. So I think Jala put her iPad in front of me at one point and was like, here, play it. This is an easy one. And I just froze.
You gotta turn off the girls. That's the key.
I turned off the girls. It was I-7.
There weren't
too.
Even girls.
Turn off the boys.
No, why would you say that?
I'm gay. That's why. I'm immune to them.
I did read an article about an individual who spent $150,000
me
on a gacha game called me. Transformers Earth Wars.
Okay, not me.
And it brought up some really interesting conversation points about how, I don't want to say more mainstream games, because gacha has a huge audience and so many people play these games, but people who traditionally go for, like, console or PC gaming or AAA gaming have this idea that it doesn't make sense to spend money on mobile games, because at the rate people are spending money on mobile games, they could get XYZ number of AAA games at that cost.
Okay, but why would you want that, like, when you can get a JPEG of a sexy cat boy? That's what I'm
exactly.
saying.
Exactly. You go to them for totally different reasons, right? Like, if I'm riding the train for my commute, right, I don't want to... I'm not the person who wants to, like, whip out my Nintendo Switch and play Breath of the Wild and do, like, a huge story moment, you know? Like, if I'm like, playing a game to kill time, I'm gonna kill time, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, any time I've ever wanted to play, like, a gacha-style game, like, I've played Fire Emblem Heroes before, it has been because, like, oh, I kind of want something to, like, fill out my time right now, but that doesn't require, like, a huge emotional or mental commitment from me. What was
Bass
that?
Just opened the door.
Let her in!
You know what?
She would like to join.
She's here. She's allowed in the studio. If she was able to figure out how to open my door, I can't stop her now. She's here. She's our extra special guest.
Miss Bass is here to burn us
you
alive.
You know what, guys? I'll leave. Bass, you can take over.
Bass, how much money have you spent on a JPEG?
Oh, to answer your earlier question, I dropped $30 for a surprise ticket, and I dragged Vane home by the wig.
Thank God.
There's part of me, though, that kind of questions why we sort of mock gachapon players. Like, not gachapon players. Why do we mock gacha game players for spending money on JPEGs, but we don't necessarily mock people who go to cons and, like, buy all the licensed and fan merchandise they can? Why do we not mock the man whose Iron Man pop figure was there when he lost his virginity?
Stop! That's me!
But, you know, like, there's this weird separation of, like, how we regard these different fans, and it's like, it totally comes down to the physicality of the merchandise, right? Like, okay, at the end of the day, John's walking home with, like, a treasure trove of vinyl figures that he can display. Jala just has a picture on her phone that she spent $600 on.
I mean, I shut up. Tell you how much
you
money
were there. You egged me on. You made me do it.
Jala, you're 20 million lucky packs. I mean, I've spent like easily over $1,000 on my Eta bags. Easily. Like,
yeah, I've probably...
I don't want to think about how much money I've actually spent on that little lad, because usually I start blacking out when I, like...
I don't want to think about how much money you've spent on
your DS. Start thinking past $600.
Oh, yeah.
What?
How much money you've spent on your DS.
Shut your mouth! It has been a long time commitment.
I would argue you've probably put more money into your DS. Like, unironically, and with no amount of shame, I would argue you've probably put more money into your DS than your Eta bag.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah.
At this point, probably. However, so they go hand in hand, because originally, before I had an Eta bag, all the stuff that was on my
DS. You had an Eta DS.
Yeah, and my Eta DS. And then, Alabaster, you cannot go on the bookshelf. That's it. You're going back outside.
I can't believe this. I can't believe you kicking out your special
That's
guests.
Like, I open the door. I enter the studio. I crawl across the sound equipment. I am forcibly immediately removed from the premises.
I'm so sorry, everybody.
No, you're okay.
I used to have all of the charms on my DS, and then once I discovered that Eta bags were a thing, I was like, oh, let me just take this off of my DS and then put it on my Eta bag. So they're kind of a part of the Ouroboros in a way. Mm-hmm. So the real question is how much money have I spent on anime merch? Like, I've been going to cons for over 10 years now. I don't even want to think about how much money I've sunk into this quote-unquote hobby. Like... not to mention, like, how much money I've dropped on figures. And, like, that's what you were saying. Why was I not shamed for spending $220 on the Gladio Play Arts Kai figure? And
it's not even the best one.
It's not even the best one.
Getting a little bit back on track, there was a really interesting point that was made of why are you able to spend $150,000 on a gacha game, on a mobile game, on any game in general? Like,
me.
The absolute absurdity of that, because the way gacha games often work is that not only are you spending money for crystals or tickets or whatever to quote-unquote roll for these characters, you are also able to spend money for time-saving mechanics and resources, because gacha games can be a huge, huge time sink, and you might hit a point where it says, to progress any further, you need, like, 5 pieces of cotton. I don't know. It's been a very long time since I've played anything. And it's like, well, it'll take me 8 hours to grind for 5 pieces of cotton, or I can spend 99 cents to get them and just keep playing. And, like...
Is Farmville a gacha?
Shut the fuck up.
I mean, I think, like, gacha and mobile games are really kind of...
They're not synonymous.
Yeah. They're not synonymous, but they are inherently tied together in some fashion.
Yes.
And they overlap in spending mechanisms. I don't know. If you can roll for, like, really cute cows in Farmville, maybe.
Is Farmville even bumping still?
I don't know. I think it is. I think it's progressed beyond, like, a web app and onto a full-blown mobile app.
I think the crops have all died. It's winter.
Get the fuck out of my podcast.
okay, I'll leave. Bye, guys.
No,
Farmville
2 not.
Country Escape was released in 2014.
There's a fucking sequel.
There's a sequel. Country Escape,
the
baby.
The squeakle, baby.
The squeakle. Oh, my God. See, they updated HTML5 in 2011. Fucking Neopets sure can't.
Okay, I'm going to keep talking.
yeah.
someone wrote that it was the responsibility of the spender and not the developer or producer of any of these games if they choose to spend money, which I think is bullshit. I agree that you are your own person and you are in charge of your faculties and you are responsible for your own actions. However, the companies that make mobile games use inherently predatory tactics. I love Trader Joe's snacks, but Trader Joe is not following me with an open bag of chips at all times, rattling them under my nose and saying, do you want some? And when I turn away from it, it walks out in front of me and goes, do you want some Trader Joe snacks? It doesn't do that. But gacha games absolutely do that. Like, my experience with Fire Emblem Heroes was that, like, the second I closed the app, I would get a pop-up message from them. And that's not unique to gacha games, of course.
Instagram, oh, that's why you gotta turn off all those push notifications.
Exactly. Turn off push notifications. Set yourself up from the beginning for mild success.
I mean, like, they're annoying to begin with, so just turn those bad boys off.
But there's also the thing with gacha games and any games is that the scarcity within them is 100% artificial. There's not actually a limited amount of vain JPEGs, right? Like, it's not that, oh, we only produced 100 character JPEGs and only one of them is a vain. Like, that's totally artificial. It is created by the company, which I understand why, but there's a level to it where I'm like, okay, how can you look at this and not realize that it's gambling, you know?
Yeah. Jala, would you want to describe to the people who aren't so gacha savvy exactly what Monkey Gate is?
Way back, this was before I started playing Granblue. I only heard about this later on, but there was this character that was released that was like a really limited Zodiac character that would only be released like for a couple banners throughout that one specific year, and then after that, like, supposedly she would never come back. she came back.
Oh, I hate that. I hate that.
Anyway, that's not what Monkey Gate was, but there was this one dude who spent like 6,000 US, like the equivalent of 6,000 US dollars, I think it was, trying to roll for her before he finally got her. And this was before the sparking system existed, which we'll probably talk about that later. But he spent a shit ton of money trying to get her. And people like saw this, like he streamed this, and everybody was like, wait, that doesn't seem right. Like, what did the rate say she was like gonna be? Like, what was her rate? What did they say it was gonna be? And some people did some digging, and turns out they lied about her rate.
Oh my god.
And so, like, that was, like, what started the law, I think, to disclose the specific rates for characters if you're going to announce it as, like, being different or something. That also brought in the Spark system, which is basically roll X amount of times, and you get to actually pick the character that you want. So
that is pretty nice. Jala, how has the Spark system affected you personally?
I've sparked many a time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Jala.
but sparking does not necessarily mean you're spending cash, correct?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So you can
explain Granblue Fantasy's Spark system for anyone who's unaware.
Yes. So basically in Granblue, you would have to roll 300 times or do like 30-10 rolls to get 300 sparks, which you can then trade for the character of your choice that is advertised as right up on the banner.
What's the rough financial equivalent of 300 rolls?
It's about 900 US dollars.
Okay.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so there are some people that that go really hard and they whale a lot and they spark like every other banner or so, just because they like want the best damage or like the best characters, or they just like really like a specific character. Me.
Jala, have you ever wailed?
I might have spent a few dollars here and there.
How much is a few?
A couple. Cass helped me. He Venmo'd me $5 one time.
So being totally unaware of how Granblue Spark system work, Jala posted about how she wanted to, quote, cash Spark for a, like, limited edition Valentine's Day character. And I thought, oh, it's a mobile game. It probably can't be that much. What? It's, like, maybe at the absolute extreme, it's $100.
Yeah.
I figured it would be more like 10, 20. So I just Venmo'd Jala $5, and I'm like, for your Granblue boy, thinking I'm like, that'll cover some of it. And it did.
Mr. High Roller.
Not nearly as much as I thought.
Yeah, it covered like 1.5 rolls.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, the incident that Cass is referring to is when Valentine's Grimnir was released. And for anyone else that knows what Granblue is and knows who Grimnir is, I love him. He's very special. He is loud and excited about everything.
That's me!
And I would do anything to protect his smile. And I saw him on this banner and I instantly knew, oh no, I'm fucked.
Oh no.
I thought about it, like, for the entire duration of the banner up until the last day, and I was actually staying at Cass's place that night.
Yep.
And I was like, I was sitting on the couch. Eskel was there. Bussy was there. Cass was there. I was typing in my crew's Discord server, and I was like, hey guys, I think I'm gonna cash Spark.
Oh, Jesus.
And everyone kept saying, no, Jala, don't do it. Don't do it. You're crazy. He's a JPEG. Don't do it. And Cass was there. And Cass was like, do it, Jala. Do it.
Cass,
get
no!
that JPEG.
What a
and
bad
so
influence.
So I did
I'm
it.
I'm an awful influence. I'm a terrible influence.
Yeah,
$600
yeah.
reduce in one shot.
Jala, that's so much money. That's like... so many chicken nuggets.
That's
I know,
so many
but
Chipotle
like,
burritos.
The serotonin, yeah, the serotonin I received upon getting that JPEG, like, exceeded any amount of serotonin I would have gotten from consuming that many chicken nuggets.
Do you regret
nuggets.
It at all?
And let's, yeah, I mean, do you regret it at all?
Honestly, like, no.
Yeah.
Like, fuck yeah, then. That's fine. Because, like, I mean, I'm a believer that you could spend your money any way you want.
Yeah, I think
like,
we should disclaim that Jala had a job and was financially secure enough
yeah,
to
like,
do
that's,
this.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. Like, I am a working adult. I thought about this beforehand. It was not, like, an impulse thing.
Mm-hmm.
Despite me egging her on.
Yeah. That was, like, the final nail in the coffin. But I was, like, considering it prior. And I had the means to expend the extra money. Like, I wasn't mm-hmm. in a pinch or anything, so I was like, okay, I'm allowed to spend, like, every once in a while to, like, treat myself. I'll just spend it mm-hmm. on this one thing, and if it makes me happy, like, if this one JPEG makes me happy, I'll spend the money on a JPEG.
Yeah, then fuck, let's go. Okay, yeah, that's yeah. fine, then.
And
I'm
I
here
mean,
for that.
Going back to that Gigook video, he allotted himself a budget of $1,000, right? And he played Arknights, Dragalia Lost, and Fate Grand Order over the period of several weeks, and he set outlines for himself that he was not going to spend money for the sake of spending money, and he found that with his own habits taken into account, he didn't even spend $1,000. At the end of the day, he spent $650 before getting the 4-star character he wanted from Fate Go, and he spent $150 on Arknights, so that's what? That's a total of $800?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, he is still playing those games and enjoying them and genuinely believes that they can be enjoyed as free-to-play games. And, like, I do think that, like, you were saying with Grand Blue, like, you can absolutely sit down and play these games as free-to-play games. There's no problem
yeah,
with
was,
that.
I was free-to-play for, like 2 years before Vayne came out, like, his mm-hmm. SSR. And mm-hmm. even then, like, I was still like, okay, I'll just save up and spark for him. And then I learned that you can't actually spark characters that aren't right up on the banner. No. So I was like, okay, I'll buy him.
I mean, I played Food Fantasy for a good minute. I've played, I was playing Sinnoh Alice for a little bit. The Revue Starlight game for a little bit. And I kind of felt the same way. Like, in Revue Starlight, there was a mechanic where if you watched 5 videos, you got to do a free 10+1 pull.
Ooh.
And it was a thing that you could do every like 6 hours.
Oh.
Or yeah. So I was like, ah. I've noticed that a lot, like especially with Food Fantasy, it was designed that you could be free to play mm-hmm. unless you wanted to do certain aspects of the game. And you could do it, it's just that the wall was so ridiculous that, once again, it almost made me lose steam. And then, with that Revue Starlight thing, the 4 stars that those banners would give out were total shit, but they were excellent fodder for boosting my other more powerful cards. So it was kind of fun and kind of useful, and Revue Starlight made its money back by doing that, so
yeah,
I couldn't complain.
And I feel like Grand Blue 2 especially is also very, very free-to-play friendly. They do like a lot of campaigns and stuff, and they give away a lot of things, like for anniversary celebrations, Christmas, New Year, stuff like that. They do a like a roulette type thing where every day you log in, you have a chance of getting anywhere from, like, I think the most recent, or, like, the highest amount was, like, 10 draws to, like, 200.
Wow.
And that lasted for, like, 2 weeks. So, like, every day you'd log in, you could get anywhere from, like, this to this many draws. And they also give, like, a ton of free crystals and stuff and, like, power-ups and whatever.
On the opposite end of that, I read a story just before we started recording that broke my heart and terrified me, from an anonymous poster on the Final Fantasy Brave Exvius forum on Reddit. And oh my god, he sunk himself into $15,000 of debt on this game.
What? Buddy.
So his first spending on the game occurred when he hit a wall where he couldn't progress anymore, no matter how much he min-maxed his units. And so he ended up spending $20 to get the necessary resources so that he could, quote, like, limp past this enemy.
Oh, and then wait, I've read this one too.
This thread is so, so heartbreaking because you just watch the self-descriptive cycle where he spends in this, like, sort of manic rush to get a certain character from these events. They're limited time. He wants to have them because they have sentimental or nostalgic value to him from, like, crossovers and things like that, only to become totally disgusted with himself. And at the end, he says, quote, "I have never spent more than $1,000 on my wife at one time. I spent $16,000 on digital garbage in about a year," which,
oh my god,
there's, like, that is an extreme case, right? But I do think, like, that is sort of just, like, the heartbreaking aspect of the, and, like, why I won't play gacha games, because finances and money, like, that is my key stressor in all things, and, like, scares me more than anything. And, like, I know I'm self-aware enough to know that I have impulsive tendencies, and, like, mm-hmm. on top of, like, mental neuroses, like, these games and gambling in general, not just within games but within casinos, rely on people who have poor impulse control, who have neurodivergencies, or have just characteristics which make them more prone to, like, fall into this cycle of risk-reward, and this sunk cost fallacy, right? Of, like, well, I've already put $100 in, what's one more dollar gonna do, you know? And, like, mm-hmm. maybe this time I'll win it big. And that is, of course, not the experience for everyone. And I'm not necessarily anti-gacha game, because these games are fun and they are enjoyable, but I do think that you just have to be aware if, like, those things exist, like, you're putting money into something that's not going to give it back to you.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And if you're gonna like, really get invested in something like this, you definitely have to know your limits and when to stop. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Setting, I think, a budget for yourself is very wise, or, like, connecting it to an isolated PayPal account that, like, only has a certain amount of money in it. And, like, this is all stuff you have to be really diligent about, and you have to be an adult about. And a lot of these games do target children because they are bright, they are colorful. Fortnite. In contrast to that, though, Jala, just for fun, can you tell us a little bit about the Valentine's Day stuff that Granblue does? Because I think it's really fascinating.
Oh, so I think, like, Psy Games in general, they are, like, the Granblue people. They're, like, the parent company. They do a lot of really creative things in terms of, like, merch and other ways to make money besides the gacha system. And during Valentine's Day and White Day in Japan, they do a special campaign where you can actually, quote-unquote, send chocolates to characters that you like. So they have, like, this whole little website that they set up. And there's a bunch of names to choose from of all the characters that they have available. And you can, like, send anywhere from, like, cheap little chocolates, like, expensive fancy bonbons at different price points to a character from the game that you like. And that's in really return, cute. A few months later, they'll send you a really nice, sturdy, high-quality Polaroid-type print of the character, like, either holding the chocolate or, like, making hearts or, like, something Valentine's related, like, wow. A cutesy little Polaroid, and I'll have, like, the little character signature on it, and it'll come with a thank you note.
It's like meeting your idol.
Yeah, it's when, like, a cute and creative way to, like, bring in a little extra income, but also do something cute for the player base.
Mm-hmm. And then also that encourages more of an incentive to actually purchase this because you get something in return.
Yeah, exactly. And, another fun thing is that there is a character in the game that is literally just a cat, and you can also send him cat food, and they actually will take the money that's made from that and buy cat food for cat shelters.
Oh,
so you are feeding actual baby kitties.
Wow.
Very good. Tease, would you like to share what you did just before we began recording?
Okay, so currently going on right now on Neopets is an event called Charity Corner. And on Charity Corner, what happens is people donate items that they don't want any longer to this mysterious being. And with those items, you get points, and each point corresponds with the rarity of the item that you donated, so on and so forth. And there are prizes for that you could purchase with your points. And ooh. I purchased a mystery capsule tier 1. So there's an 85% chance of getting a rarity 1 through 84 item, a 10% chance of getting an 85 through 89 item, a 4% chance of a 90 to 94 item, and then a 1% chance of a 95 to 99 rarity item. And I was like, well, you know, the only thing I really want is the stamp, which is 2,500 points, and a book, which is 100 points, and I already had over 2,500 points. I was like, fuck it. I'm going to buy one of the tier 1 capsules, which is what I just read for. And I opened it.
What'd you get? What'd you get?
An item that is worth 100 Neo points. So, garbage. So it goes. I think I'm going to have a fun time and purchase. I'm not going to purchase any more capsules for now, but I am going to buy my stamp and my book, and then the rest will go towards capsules, I guess, because I'm really hoping that miraculously I'll just get an expensive stamp because, or a book that I would like, you know?
Oh, for fun, should we all open up our mobile devices and do a 10 draw in any gacha game of our choosing?
I probably could do that because I haven't played something in a while, so it'll probably give me like a welcome back bonus. Yeah, I could do that for you.
I don't have any gacha games on my phone. I don't
have coward
games on my phone.
Jala and I have, could
okay,
do it.
Hold on. I have Animal Crossing Pocket Camp, which I will get
they got
a fortune
them
cookie.
Fortune cookies.
Yes. Tease, what gacha game will you be pulling from?
I will be pulling from Sinnoh-Alys because that is, like, the only game that I have fully updated right now because I played it when it started first coming out and I haven't touched it since my guild disbanded. So I have some crystals that I am ready to use. All right, so I always open my lower tier books first. So we got 1A, 1A, 1A.
What does 1A mean?
So there's a system, instead of it being like N, R, S, R, S, S, R, U, R, whatever you want to do, they do it by A, S, S, R, and L.
Acerol.
So, and then, and then B is also low. So there's different, in this game, there's different weapons depending on what class you play, and different weapons are more powerful for different classes and stuff like that. So I did an 11 pull, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven of these were A-level weapons. So now I pulled an S-tier weapon, which whatever. Another, an SR-tier weapon. An S weapon. And an S weapon that I already had. Okay. That's nice, I guess. So that was nice, but I didn't get any of the special banner items. I didn't get any of the unlockable classes either from this gacha.
I'm sorry, Queen, you deserve better than that.
It's okay. I don't even play the game anymore, so it's fine. I'm not affected.
I'm going to spend 99 cents on Animal Crossing Pocket Camp.
Oh my god, you're such a whale.
I know.
I can't believe Cass is wailing live on
podcasts. Just to do this
podcast
with you gamers.
Thanks, King.
So I have opened up Animal Crossing Pocket Camp. That is the closest I will get to a gacha. I have not played this game in months.
Nice. Same here.
But in Animal Crossing Pocket Camp, the idea is that you can use leaf tickets, which you are able to very, very slowly grind for in the game, to purchase all manner of things. But one of the big things that people normally spend them on is fortune cookies, which may contain a piece of furniture. And instead of like banners, there are fortune cookie series associated with different villagers. So they're all different cute themed furnitures. So I think I'm going to go for Maple's Autumn Cookie because I like autumnal things very much. Cute. And let me see what the rates are for this. Let's see what I want, right? Okay. There's an Autumn Fairy Jar. All this looks really cute, actually. I want the Thicket of Reeds, and the chance of me getting the Thicket of Reeds is 12%. 12.3239%.
Better than some shit.
The least likely is the Tree Stump Hideout, which is 3.1690%. So,
oh, that's good.
I'm going to get one singular fortune cookie. Let's do it. What are we going to get? I swear to God, if I get the outfit, I'm going to scream. I'm eating the fortune cookie. What's going to be in it?
Vorage.
I get a fortune with it that says you will grow an inch taller.
I don't know if you need that.
I can do it. Ah! I got the Autumn Fairy Jar. Yay! Now I'm going to put that little item away and I'm not going to play this game again for months.
Are you sure you don't want to spend another 99 cents on another fortune cookie, Cass?
Okay, no. If anyone has difficulty with spending money in gacha games or on things they shouldn't, I encourage you to seek help for that. Seek help if you need it and be self-aware and recognize. But
there's a lot of generators, like especially for Love Live, where it will generate the same exact simulation of like doing a pull, but then so instead of like spending your own gems, you could just watch it happen, and that always usually stops me from doing it when I played. Or I would watch people on YouTube doing pulls and stuff.
Yeah,
like that too.
I think that's a really great way.
And I would just live vicariously
way
through them.
Yeah, to, I mean, me telling Jala to spend $600 on a game.
Yeah.
I think vicarious spectatorship is a really great form of that. I mean, like, yes, I wish I could just throw down that sweet, sweet cash to get Fatter Cat in Final Fantasy XIV, but I hit my limit on Final Fantasy XIV spending when I bought my Spriggan mount. And you know what? I can watch my friends use Fatter Cat all day. I can just look at pictures of it. It's great. I'm looking at a picture of Fatter Cat right now. That's okay. Jala?
Yeah?
Do a pull.
Okay. I'll open
up. What are you doing a pull in?
We'll do a pull in Bandori.
Okay.
Let's open her up.
The one thing I did find really interesting is that when I think about gacha games, I think of them all as like one very similar thing. But it occurred to me that, like, there are gacha rhythm games, there are RPGs, there are puzzle games. Like, they exist in every genre that you can think of.
Yes. Oh, most definitely.
Okay, I'm not too into the current banner, but I'll do this for you guys.
Aww.
let's turn this volume up. Let's see what's popping.
Nope, don't do that.
It's up.
Don't do that. Nope, please turn it down.
Why not? You guys don't want to hear me do my pull?
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, it's making me do a single pull first, because I have like a ticket or something.
Are you going to do a 10 pull?
Yeah, why not? Okay. All right, here we go.
Discord's noise cancellation is trying to silence you desperately.
Why would they do that to me? Okay, we got a two-star, a two-star, a two-star.
What color were you?
A two-star.
You're a two-star.
I skipped it. I didn't check. Another two-star.
Oh,
another two-star.
Your pull sucks.
Another two-star. and we got that guaranteed 3-star.
Yeah, boy!
All in all, a very disappointing poll.
I would like to read a quote from Robert Fahey, which states, "The reason gacha mechanisms have come under so much scrutiny lies in their borderline proximity to gambling. Quote, pay money, maybe get the thing you want, end quote. But also in the fact that, along with energy mechanisms, they constitute a way in which the ceiling on spending in a mobile game is lifted effectively to infinity. Even in a game with a limited roster of characters and items, a gacha mechanism generally means you could pay literally all the money in the world and still have a non-zero chance of not collecting them all or getting the one you especially want."
Yeah, like, now that I think about it, though, I have been playing Granblue now for about five years. And there are still some characters from, like, that have been released well before I started playing that I still have not gotten, and I've rolled many times.
Yeah. Ooh, it's not sucks. It's not like, you know, Pokemon on your DS where there's a finite to it. It is,
yeah.
You can get duplicates over and over and over again. It is, and it's designed that way. It is made to encourage that consistent spending. And so, like, if you are a collector, oh my god, no, stop.
Good Don't. Luck, yeah.
Do not. Does anyone have any final thoughts on gacha games?
Jala, do you like playing them in a group with people, or do you like playing them solo?
I used to be more of a solo player, but now I don't know how I could ever go back to that. Just because, like, okay. I've made a bunch of friends through, like, Granblue and stuff. And just, like...
Maybe the Granblue fantasy
were the friends we the made, friends we made the way.
There's a story of a Granblue player whose situation came to light when he posted a picture, I guess, of his setup. His name is Toby. And people were like, why does it look like that? And he said, oh, I'm squatting.
So yeah.
He squats pretty regularly as a, you know, a means to survive, and plays Granblue to stay connected with his friends. And, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do to stay alive. And it's very difficult. So, yes, maybe the Granblue fantasy is the friends we made along the way.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us, Jala. It was wonderful having you.
Of course. That was wonderful being here. Just a couple final thoughts from me. I just want to add in at the very end that I'm not a gacha expert. I just spend a lot of time looking at my phone screen. if anyone who plays Granblue listens to this, this game has sucked so much of my soul out of my body that I have the blue skin. I did that.
Oh my God.
Totally optional, but I did that to myself.
If you want to find Jala on Twitter, you can find her at Nyalliest, that's NYALLIEST. She is the wonderful cover artist who did our beautiful artwork.
Don't follow me, I don't post art, my account sucks, I only post mobile game screenshots, literally.
Yeah, if you want to check out more gacha-related topics, follow Jala, you will get a first-person perspective. If you have any comments or questions for us, you can reach out to us on Twitter at AuthorsNotePod, or you can hit us up via email. That's AuthorsNotePod@gmail.com. My name is Cass. If you want to check out more of my work, you can find me on Twitter at ValHethella. That's ValHethella. Tease, where can we find more of your work?
You could find me on Twitter at Vicunad, VICUNAD. You could also hear me on the Fresh Podcast Market, where we are a real podcast that talks about fake podcasts. And you could also find me on The Reticulation, which is a side project that I am slowly but surely working on. And that is an LGBT pop culture website. Our theme music was done by James Wyulo.
And if you enjoyed our podcast or this episode this week, we would really love if you could leave us a review on iTunes or share it with a friend. If you're interested in supporting us a little bit with some cash that maybe you're not spending on gacha games, you can find our Ko-fi. It's Author's Note Pod. We would really appreciate that. But again, don't do anything you're not comfortable with.
If you do any of the above, I'll carry your bahas and fas. I'll do it. I'll carry.
Is that a sex term?
No.
What's a grand blue term?
They're end game raids.
Anyway, until next week, thank you all so much for watching. Stay safe, everybody. Love
you. Bye.
Bye.